can adore. In the halls of Bacchus, way to a larger swell, without my heart, what can I do?
Radio Free Brooklyn. You will be listening to this on May 3rd, but I am recording it April 27th, and I am in a car on my way to Colorado with one of my dearest friends, Hannah Smith. And Hannah Smith is a musician at heart and is working on a PhD program, and I would love for you to talk a little bit about your program because I love hearing about it.
Oh, yes, it's my pleasure, and I'm happy to be here. So I am in the second year of my PhD at the University of Idaho in the College of Natural Resources. I study natural resources and society. And so the human relationship with nature and the natural relationship with humans. And trying to understand more about how we interact with the landscape and the ways that we communicate and the relationships we have. Particularly, I look at ecological change within a landscape. And I work with the Nez Perce tribe, which is in the heart of Idaho. And together we're trying to make meaning of how a landscape changes in human memory through storytelling.
That's exciting. And I was delighted by you sharing some moments from a class you taught to, was it fourth graders?
Yeah,
it was. About storytelling as an oral tradition and as a way of cultivating relationships with your ancestors and with the land, and the differences between an oral, orated story versus a read story. We can talk about that more or just give our listeners some food for thought in their own experience of listening to a story versus reading it or watching it, I suppose.
Yeah, like how does the story live in you? Like, what do you learn from it? And is it different when you hear it? What changes about that story?
It makes me think of a story Neil Gaiman told where he was on tour for the Graveyard Book, and he noticed that it was almost... He was going from city to city, and there was as many cities on his U.S. tour as there was chapters in his book if he divided one chapter in half. And so he was like, I'll just do that. And then he was reading the first half of the chapter and then stopped because that's what he was going to do. And the entire auditorium just gasped. And in his Neil Gaiman-y way, he's like, I never felt more power than in that moment of being able to make an entire room of people just be like, oh, wait! That's what? that's not exactly what we're talking about.
Well, I think it is. I think that as a storyteller, when you're telling it, you have a lot more than just the sound of your voice in the story you're telling. You have your body, the way your body moves. You have facial expressions. You have tonality.
Mm-hmm.
You can also create pauses, which create tension. And so really, it's almost like a living thing, because it can be adapted and changed, and you can use, like, your physical self to add to the story and create more. And I think that differs from a written story, because a written story it lives. Everyone reads it a different way. But we don't get to hear the author's voice. We don't get to see the way that their eyes move. Like, do they widen when they say this part? Or what is their body doing? And I'm not saying one's better than the other. I just...
A different experience. That begs the question for me of stories that have been lost either to time or to people dying before someone else was able to gather them. And then my thoughts went to archetypes and the idea that maybe humans have more or less been telling the same stories. What do you have any thoughts on either of those?
Oh yeah, I think archetypes, we definitely as a human species have these archetypes, and you can see it, you know, all over the world. And
how many is there, like 70 something versions of Cinderella?
Yeah, or even, you know, the story of the flood.
Yeah.
You know, we have the earliest documented story outside of the Bible of the flood. What is that? It's from Mesopotamia. It's an epic. It'll come to me. But we also hear stories of floods in other mythologies, like there's the flood in Norse mythology. There's floods that occurred from in the mythologies of indigenous people to North America. And so I think that there are these stories, and I think that what it means is, you know, we as humans have been traveling and in contact with each other on this earth for a very, very long time. You know, for 100,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
If not longer. And through trade, through interacting with each other, not only do we trade goods or, you know, diversify our families, but we also trade our stories. And I think that that's kind of like sitting around a fire, eating food. You start telling stories, and maybe that's why we see so many archetypes that are similar despite geographic differences in culture.
Sitting around a fire telling stories or making music, do you think that, I think music, a good song is a good story put to tone, put to, you know, musical beat, but you're a musician, so maybe you have some deeper thoughts on the correlation between, you know, that community sitting around a fireplace and like what arises spontaneously.
Yeah, I think as a musician and a songwriter, I take songwriting pretty seriously, in that I put a lot of intent into the music itself and also into the words that I'm saying, because I feel it's a privilege when I play music that people are listening to me, and so I want to facilitate an experience where they feel something. And so a lot of my songs, I'm in two different bands. I'm in a solo act, and a lot of my songs there are prose.